Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call this hearing of the Education Finance Committee to order. We do have a quorum. Representative Hewitt, I know you've been here for a while. Are you able to move the minutes of our February 28th meeting?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Any discussion to the Hewitt motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much. We had originally posted for today's hearing Representative Purcell's House File 525 pending referral. We received the referral very late last night, and we'll be hearing that next week instead to allow for greater public awareness of that bill hearing if anyone chooses to participate. So today is Fund Transfer Day. It's one we always look forward to in the Education Finance Committee. But we thought we would start with a presentation on fund transfers from House staff. Representative, or Mr. Strom, is that up to you? Apologies.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you so much. There's several pieces of paper in your packets that will be helpful. There's a landscape-oriented spreadsheet that shows the fund balances for the general fund and for each of the reserve accounts in the community ed fund. And then there's three other documents that have to do with fund transfers. And what I'd like to do is spend just a minute or two talking about the accounting system that schools use and what a fund is, and then talk about the fund transfers that the legislature has authorized over the last 25 years or thereabouts. School districts are required to use an accounting system called UFARS. It's an accrual-based accounting system, which means that unlike the state, which is on a cash system, school districts recognize accounts receivable and accounts payable. And the system, the UFARS system, tells school districts to use several different funds. So they have one fund for operating purposes, all of the general operating needs of the district. They have another for the buildings, for the debt service, the repayment of debt service. They have several smaller ones, and then they have a fund for the community service programs. Fund structure isn't necessary, but generally it's helpful in an accounting scheme because it helps keep money in places where it can be identified and tracked and where others can determine how the revenue and expenditures line up. When we talk about fund balance, that's different than cash balance, but the two often go together. The fund balance is what the accrual accounting says at a particular point of time the balance is. And if you look at the landscape spreadsheet, you can see that as of June 30th, 2018, at the close of FY18, the unrestricted general fund balance was about $2 billion in all of the school districts in the state, or roughly $2,319 per pupil. The community service fund, which is sometimes called Fund 4, had a balance, a total balance of $114 million, or $132 per pupil. And then you can see off to the right in the last four columns the specific account reserves for community education, ECFE, school readiness, and adult basic programs. A couple other terms that are probably helpful to you. The statute not only refers to funds, but there are also account restrictions, and these are usually referred to as a reserve. An account is a grouping of money within a fund, and the reserves are generally legislatively created. That is, the legislature has thought it's important enough that this money be used for only that purpose, and so the legislature creates a reserve and says that money must be reserved for that purpose. For the district financial staff, that means they have to track that money. They essentially have to segregate that money and keep that separate on their books. The reserve accounts, as I said, are almost entirely legislatively created. So what happens then often is school districts, for one reason or another, will find that they've got additional funds in some accounts or some funds that they'd like to move to a different place. There's a couple of little printouts in your folder for you. The first of those shows the legislatively approved fund transfers from 1996 to 2018. That's this sheet here, and it just is in descending order from the years. And you can see for each district grouped by year what the fund transfer request was, what fund it was out of or account it was out of, and where the district preferred that it went. And then in that last column, you can see the legislative law that was passed to allow that fund transfer to occur. In 2012, the legislature, having tired of these individual fund transfer requests, said, well, how about for the next couple of years, school districts can go to the department and, absent a few transactions that we're not going to allow, ask the department for approval to move money from reserve accounts and from funds. And from 2012 to 2017, on the three-page handout, you can see that there were 155 fund transfer requests or account transfer requests from the school districts to the Department of Education, and nearly all of those requests were approved. There were a couple of conditions on those, one of which was that money could not be moved out of the community education fund. Accounts within that fund could have money moved between them per the authority of the commissioner, but money could not be moved out of the community education account. The legislation also specified that money could not be moved for fiscal years up through 17. It could not be removed from the staff development account. And finally, some revenue sources, while most school district revenue is based on a per pupil basis, some is based on the need to pay bills or the amount that's available to do certain work. And so any fund transfer that authorized the school district to move money from an account that would result in a financial impact to the state or to the local property taxpayers was not allowed. But so for the 6 years, 2012 to 2017, you can see the fund transfers, 155 of them. There's three pages in this portrait-oriented handout that just show those grouped by different ways of looking at those. The second page shows by general ledger code, and the third page by finance code. Those are both different ways we can track things in the state accounting system. So they give you some basis from to see what kinds of transfers made up those 155. And then finally, there's a list of those transfers as well. And that's, again, portrait style, says 2012 to 2017 on the top. And you can see there those 155 fund transfer requests, what account or fund the district wanted to move the money from, the amount requested to be transferred, and the account to which that money was moved. The words unassigned there mean the unassigned general fund, essentially. And then that last column shows there were just a few of those fund transfers denied because they might have had an aid or levy impact or were for a fund that the legislation did not authorize a transfer to or from. Mr. Chair, in summary then, the accounting system is established in statute called UFARS. Schools are required to use that accounting system. When the legislature requires money to be reserved for a particular purpose, a school district cannot use that money for any purpose other than those allowed by statute for that amount of money. And in the last 6 years, there haven't been any legislatively approved fund transfers because the general authority existed for the commissioner to approve transfers among accounts and between funds so long as they didn't violate those restrictions of having an aid or levy impact and so long as it wasn't money outside of the moving outside of the community education fund.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Any questions for Mr. Strom from members? Hearing none. Thank you very much. With that, Representative Pryor, you're up. Good morning, Representative Pryor. Would you like to move that House File 1687 be held up for possible inclusion in a division report?
Yes, Mr. Chair. That is my move. what I would like to move.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Please proceed.
All right. As you just heard our excellent presentation that gives the context for what's happening right here, this bill would move funds from community education to the rest, to the general operating fund. Yes, I got that right. And I would like to introduce my testifiers to explain the situation in the Hopkins School District and why this is a good thing to do.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is John Topin. I'm the Director of Business Services at Hopkins School District. Chair Dabney, members of the House Education Finance Committee, I'm here today to speak in support of HF 1687, a bill to allow Hopkins School District to transfer up to $500,000 from their community education reserve fund balance to their reserve for operating capital account to assist with an early childhood addition at one of our elementary schools. Hopkins has been a leader in early childhood programming dating back to fiscal year 12-13, when our school board allocated $150,000 out of our general fund to support early childhood education at two of our elementary schools with the largest free and reduced meals population. We added a third elementary school a year later with the help of Pathway 2 funding. Hopkins continues to support early childhood programming throughout all our elementary schools through strategic use of Pathway 2, school readiness, and other sources of revenue. We are at a point that constructing an addition at one of our elementary schools would be helpful, and through prudent fiscal management, the community education reserve fund balance is substantial enough to help contribute to this addition with this transfer. We need your approval to make this happen. We anticipate using a variety of funding sources in addition to this transfer to allow us to construct this addition, estimated at $2.1 million. Transferring this amount will give us the additional flexibility and local control we need to continue to deliver quality early childhood programming in our district. I ask for your support of this bill.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. My name is Katie Williams. I'm the Director of Community Education for Hopkins Public Schools. Chair Dabney and members of the House Education Finance Committee, I'm here to testify in favor of House File 1687 that would allow up to $500,000 of community education fund balance for the construction and equipping of early childhood spaces. By allowing this transfer, we would be able to expand our early childhood programming to accommodate a growing waiting list, particularly around free preschool or sliding fee preschool in a number of our school district buildings. So I'm here in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifiers from committee members? Seeing none, this is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who would like to testify either for or against House File 1687? Seeing none, Representative Pryor, any closing comments?
No, I appreciate your support for this bill.
Thank you very much. Thank you both for coming in today. Representative Morrison, my apologies. Representative Morrison, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pryor, would you like to move that House File 920 be before the committee for possible inclusion in a future division report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make that move.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Representative Morrison, welcome to the committee. I understand you have an oral amendment for us today.
I do, Mr. Chair.
Please identify that amendment.
Let me come to me. Okay. Yes, Mr. Chair, on page 1, line 8, delete $2.4 million and insert $3.3 million, and this was an accounting error.
All right. Representative Morrison, thank you for that. The chair will move, again, Representative Morrison's oral amendment, page 1, line 8, delete $2,400,000 and insert $3,300,000. This is a author's amendment in order to get the bill in the form that she prefers. Any discussion to the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. There we go on that. Representative Morrison, to your bill as amended, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, House File 920 is a request of a transfer of $3.3 million for the Minnetonka School District 276 to transfer to the Minnetonka Community Education, transfer $3.3 million of its Minnetonka Community Education Fund balance to the District Operating Capital Fund to pay for the design, construction, and equipping of an addition to the Minnetonka Community Education Center to enable more children ages 0 to 5 and adult learners to be served. And I have two testifiers here with me this morning.
Thank you very much. Superintendent, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony, sir.
You. My name is Dennis Peterson. I'm superintendent of schools in Minnetonka. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's an honor to speak with you this morning about this proposed transfer of funds for our community education. Under Minnesota law, we cannot use funds from community ed to build a building without your permission. So we've had a growing need in our community for more classroom space for early childhood and adult learners. And we've built up a balance in that fund of more than $3.3 million in order to do something in terms of space. And so what we're asking is that you allow us to transfer from the community ed fund to the capital fund in order that we might construct that facility and meet the needs of the children and the adults who could be served by it. So I'd like to turn it over to our community ed director, Tim Litvin, for further explanation.
Thank you, Superintendent Peterson. Mr. Litvin, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Good morning. My name is Tim Litvin, Executive Director of Community Education in Minnetonka Schools. The Minnetonka Community Education Fund balance has built up over time, little by little. This fund balance came from running a tight ship, good classroom programs, and good events and good classes all around, from approximately $800,000 in fiscal year 07 to its approximately $4.1 million fund balance fiscal year 18. 88% of the Minnetonka Community Education Fund balance comes from customer fees, comes from across the counter. That is not tax revenue. Almost 12% of Minnetonka Community Education revenue is from state aid and local levy. That 12% state aid and levy is spent every year. We plow that back into the program. The $4.1 million fund balance is the result of fees paid voluntarily by customers. Minnetonka Schools ISD 276 is asking for permission to put a portion of our community education fund balance right back into the same community education program in order to serve many other children and families that are currently on the waiting list. We have a waiting list right now of 45 students to get into programming that there is not space for. So I support House File number 920. Thank you very much. I'd entertain any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Litvin. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Peterson and Mr. Litvin. Good to see you. I know we included this last year in the omnibus bill, so I'm glad it's back, but sad that it did not go forward last year. Mr. Litvin, is the fact that you have a growing open enrollment one of the reasons that you have a large fee increase to provide for this very generous fund balance?
Mr. Litvin.
We have great programs running across the border, and we entertain customers no matter where they live. And so the fact that we have customers from local and from outside of the community perhaps does grow into our fund balance, but that's not the only reason.
Representative Erickson.
So how many students have you gained through open enrollment just recently?
Mr. Litvin.
In which programming? We have programs from A to Z.
In the district, Mr. Chair.
In the school district, K-12?
Yes.
Well, for that answer, I'd turn that over to Dr. Peterson.
Superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erickson, we have about 3,300 open enrolled students K through 12 in the district. And we also have some open enrolled in the early childhood program.
Representative Barry Erickson, excuse
me. Mr. Chair, so Mr. Superintendent Peterson, how many of those are in the early childhood program? Any idea? Or maybe
Superintendent?
Mr. Lifton knows.
Mr. Lifton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'll let you guys decide.
Mr. Erickson, we have 121 Minnetonka preschool students currently that are open enrolled, and that is 121 of 357.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a housekeeping item. I believe you had Representative Morrison move the bill. Would you rather have someone in the committee? Would you like me to move the bill in the amendment?
Kind of you, Representative Juergens. Representative Pryor moved the bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
You're quite all right. Superintendent, I believe you testified there were 45 children on your early childhood waiting list. One of you did. Mr. Lifton, my apologies. What percentage of, how many of those are Minnetonka residents? How many of those are open enrolled into the district?
I don't have that data.
Okay. Any other questions from members? This is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the public wishing to testify either for or against House File 920? Seeing none, Representative Morrison, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for hearing the bill. I hope that you will consider supporting it.
Thank you very much. With that, Representative Pryor renews her motion that House File 920 be held over for possible inclusion in a future division report. Thank you very much, Representative Morrison.
Thank you, Mr.
As amended. Thank you very much, Ms. Burt.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Chair.
You. Representative Gunther. Thank you very much. The chair moves House File 784. Well, actually, Representative Juergens, do you want to move House File 784?
I would, Mr. Chair. I would move that.
Very good. To be before the committee for possible inclusion in a future division report. Representative Gunther, welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. House File 784 is for Independent School District 458, Truman, authorizing transfer of money from early childhood and family education and school readiness reserve to the general fund. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I will let Superintendent Lisa Shellam describe her needs.
Thank you very much. Ms. Shellam, Superintendent Shellam, please introduce yourself to the tape and proceed. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Dabney, and representatives. Thank you for having me. My name is Lisa Shellam. I am currently the superintendent of the Truman Public School. And just to explain a little bit, Truman is a school of less than 1,000 students, so I am also technically the community education director. So as we go through this, I wanted to clarify that because in the Senate that did come up. And I'm very, very pleased to represent the school district here today for our request, and thank you for allowing me time on your calendar. On behalf of the district, I am here to request a permanent fund transfer of $110,000 from community education to the general fund, $65,000 of that from early childhood family education, and $45,000 from school readiness. In order to get these accurate figures, I wanted everyone here to know that I worked with Region 5 Business Services and Springstead Incorporated collaboratively. The district is currently in statutory operating debt. When I started as superintendent last July, it was evident that there were several expenditure coding errors from prior years that resulted in the general fund going further into debt and the community education fund balance growing. I was able to correct the errors for fiscal year 18, but I was not able to go back to 16 and 17. In 2016, Truman was awarded voluntary preschool funding at a 0.5 for 19 seats. The entire program, so in essence, is funded at 50%. This money flows through the general fund, not community ed. And we use a school readiness and pathways dollars prior to VPK to fund our preschool programs. For reasons I do not know, as I just started in July, in fiscal year 16 and 17, the majority of the expenditures that had been previously coded in community ed to the right areas were coded to the general fund and not split accurately between the two funds. In completing a historic five-year check of community ed balances, the community ed fund that usually carried between $5,000 and maybe $20,000 in a given year, respectively, in a reserve, increased 2,000% to over $100,000 in fiscal year 16, carried over to 17. Obviously, it's probably easy to see that there was something going on there. It is currently predicted that without any transfer, the community education fund balance at the end of fiscal year 19 will rise to over $150,000, where the general fund will still be in serious statutory operating debt. So the district is working closely with MDE on our SOD status, and we were able to make positive gains for financial recovery this last year. So that is good news for Truman. We have a very solid plan going forward to be out of SOD with a substantial positive fund balance by fiscal year 2022, which is certainly within MDE's guidelines for us. We are pleased to say that the progress does not include any type of new money either. So it's not like we're counting on anything new to come. It's on our own, and we need to be able to do that. Even though we are currently in SOD, I just need to tell you that some of the positive changes that have happened in Truman, and we have actually grown as well in our open enrollment. With Truman is 220 students, but we have gained 9 since January 1st. And some of that is because I've personally been in the district for 2 years, kind of watching and seeing, making changes for kids and families. And so couple things that we did is we created a specialty floor for special education and students in like an ALC type setting. We don't send our kids away anymore. We keep them. So we are a school of 220 students, and we have our own Swiss program. We have our own specialty floor with special ed and all of the services provided therein. I also had a couple families that wanted to move to surrounding areas. They called and they said, I'm really sorry, I need to transfer my children. We really want to stay in Truman. I said, not a problem. We have a van. We'll be there in the morning. And so we now travel. The route is split, but we do travel to 3 neighboring school districts, and we pick up students that moved and still want to come to Truman, which obviously I think we all can tell you that it's a good thing for Truman, but it's not just a financially good thing. It's a good thing that they want to stay. So we have a commitment to our students in special ed that simply struggle with regular education. The other thing that has happened with Truman is it has suffered with the high cost to provide special education services for 45 students. And we had previously been in a cooperative, and this is very exciting for us to share as well. Our entire special education program for 45 students costs about $350,000. And for several reasons, with a lot of the legislative changes, our cross subsidy is between $200,000 and $250,000 a year. It is absolutely insane. And I'm new, but you know what? I can say that to all of you, because that's a lot of money coming out of a school district general fund that's in statutory. But we were also caught in a negative spot when the education or special education funding laws changed in 2016, and then they were capped. You know, so we haven't had a chance to really gain much special education aid, recently. And this also dramatically affected our general fund. So what I am doing to maximize our federal dollars and our SOD status is I have created our own special ed co-op. The board voted to get out of the big co-op last year, and MDE said, you have some time here to put your own program together. You're creative. Let's see what you can do. That's pretty much what Tom Melcher said. And we have put together an entire special ed program with the school psychs and speech and everybody that we need, a special ed director that's going to work 3 days a month. That's all we need. I am 3 classes away, but I did not think I should do that as well. So anyway, I just wanted to share that is very exciting for a very small school, and we will now get to see our federal flow-through dollars. We don't have to have a co-op claim our 3-year-olds anymore because of that and draw the general ed aid. We're going to be able to capture all of the funding and yet still stay within the exact same budget that we were spending prior, which still we paid for out of the general fund. But I needed to share that because we have some positive things going forward, and I really wanted to make sure that we could get the fund transfer as well. And the last thing I'm going to say is we are certainly very committed to our mental health needs of our students. And so one last thing that I did in my prior school, and at MREA I suggested it to some other superintendents, I am friends with a lot of the mental health professionals and agencies around, And all Truman has to simply do is let them hang a shingle. And so I have a gal that has a private company coming in, and she's going to use just our building in Truman because there is no psychological services at all. And we have her lined up with some students. And number one, it's great for the community. Number two, the kids don't have to leave school. They don't have to travel. They get to stay in school. And number three, parents do not have to leave work to take them. And so we're really, really excited about that, too. And I think you can see that we're really trying to encompass a lot of things in a small school. And I am here to ask for the transfer to correct the prior errors, which in turn will assist our general fund where the money rightfully belongs. We are excited that our school is being noticed for our commitment to taking care of kids and families. Our goal is to get out of SOD, like I said, ASAP, as soon as possible. And this transfer will certainly assist us. I thank you so much for your time and would certainly honor any questions.
Thank you, Superintendent Shalom, for that full report. Mr. Strom, we haven't been throwing around terms like SOD much this year. And I'm wondering, just as background for the committee, if you could explain what that means for a district.
Mr. Chair, certainly the superintendent may want to comment as well. The state defines a district in statutory operating debt, SOD, if the district's general fund balance is more than 2.5% in the red. So in other words, if the district's books show a negative of more than 2.5% in the general fund, that's called statutory operating debt. And there's a process around that that the superintendent alluded to. She could explain that perhaps a little more fully, that the district needs to go to. They file a plan with the department. The plan lays out how the district intends to improve its financial situation. And it might be best for the superintendent to talk about the options that they considered and faced.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Superintendent, can you speak to that so that the committee has a better understanding of
your situation? You're absolutely right. It's 2.5% of the revenue. So Truman right now is sitting at a minus $708,000. It is not pretty. And Dr. Melcher and I obviously have had several conversations regarding this. Some of our plans to get out obviously include attracting families and students. There have been a lot of tumultuous things happening with small schools. And if you can imagine, if there is a rumor or a thought that a small school may close, people panic. So in 2015, 16, 50 kids left the district because there was rumors the place was going to close. And it went from this 260 down to 200, well, actually 180, I believe. Now we're back up. And the community needs the school. The community is growing. The community is getting a Dollar General. We are thrilled to death. I know it's not Walmart, but, you know, things like that. So what's happened is, you know, with the lack of students and the special ed piece, I truly believe in my heart that's really caused a lot of this. Truman has really suffered. So that's what the SOD thing, our plan to get out, is certainly the fund transfer. The good news is the transfer money rightfully belongs in the general fund, but without it, we're still okay. And I made sure of that, all right? We have a renewal referendum that will go out to the community. Community has been very supportive of all of them, but there are four on the books. So the community needs to probably decide, so we don't have to go out every other year. You know what? Let's combine them and let's see where they go and run it in 10 years. So that's a good thing. Our enrollment has increased by 9 students. So our average cost per revenue per student is $16,000. When you take Aiden Levy, you multiply that times 9, divide by 50%, we're half the school year. You know what? That's new money. And it's because of our teachers. It's because of what we're doing. So that's part of the plan. Advertising. MDE required we advertise. So fell in my lap an opportunity for Truman to put a little commercial out in front of every single movie offered at the Fairmont Theater, 30-second commercial, right? $2,500. And so I said to the board, I said, I know that you're probably going to think that I am in dream world, but one student is going to pay for that how many times? We got our student in January. She came, mom saw the commercial, and she's in our Swiss program, our school within a school. And so, you know, all of the requirements of MDE, I mean, I have done everything. We were almost without special ed services. We came up with a new plan. Obviously, watching the budget. Right now, I only have it at 43% spent, and we're going into month 8. you know, it is really about careful planning and getting coding right and getting things where they need to belong. And the general fund does not have to take care of food service or community ed. They can, you know what, they can take care of themselves, and it's really been a lot of lessons learned. And so I am very pleased. I'm proud of the people that I'm working with. They've been very gracious. So those are some of the ideas. The more kids, the merrier, because that will bring us out very quickly.
Very good. Thank you, Superintendent. We do have a couple of questions from members. Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point of clarification. So in this bill, in totality, maybe to the author, you're looking at transferring $110,000 to the general fund from two different accounts?
Superintendent Shell?
Yes. The community end fund is the 04. It's like the umbrella, and our readiness fund and the ECFE are in the umbrella. And so when it was written, we just wanted to make sure we clarified which two, but it's going to come out of community ed, one fund, into the general fund.
Representative Sandstead.
Thank you.
All right. Representative Kunesh-Podein.
Thank you, Madam, Mr. Chair. And Superintendent, your story is really super inspiring. I'm a teacher. Representative Sandstead is a teacher. There's a few other teachers here on the board and are on the panel here. And my heart is warmed when I hear about these small schools that are struggling, that are able to reconstruct themselves and revive themselves. The one question I do have, though, when you transfer money from school readiness reserves, why is there a reserve in that account? And if you're receiving money for that, is it okay to just take that and move it into a general account?
Superintendent Shellam.
As I said before, the money is in the reserves only because it wasn't spent appropriately back in 2016 and 17 for the program. When the extra funding came on the general ed side, they took most of the expenditures out of that, and that's what pushed the general fund backwards, and it should have been taken out of readiness on the community ed side. I did share, and I should share, too, that by moving this money still leaves around $42,000 in the reserve. So I'm not taking all of the money in a small school. Trust me, that is going to be there for a while. And hopefully I don't have to come back. But that is the reason, because it just was not spent out appropriately.
Representative Kunesh-Podein?
No, thank you.
Any other questions from members? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this question is for Mr. Strom. I noticed that we have charter schools in SOD, or at least with unrestricted general fund balances. How do they solve their dilemma when they can't transfer anything?
Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, charter schools that are in debt will need to develop a plan as well. Generally, that involves either cost reductions in a future year or growth opportunities in the same manner as Truman Faces additional students help a charter in that situation. The department puts out a fund balance analysis each year. They look at the districts that are have year-over-year declines in their fund balance and offers to work with those districts before they reach the statutory operating debt point. Once they do, as the superintendent said, a school district has options on the revenue side that they can consider going to their voters for. A charter school simply would really have to look at its cost side or its student recruitment.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. And one last statement to Truman. Maybe you should talk to Minnetonka and find out what they do in advertising, because as you notice, they have really gained a lot of students, and I hear them on the radio all the time.
Representative Gunther, what is the distance between Minnetonka and Truman?
I don't know the population of Minnetonka, but I know the population of Truman. I think there's a big difference.
I think there might be. Any more questions from members?
I just have a short one.
Representative Hewitt.
I knew I was going to. Mr. Chair, I'm just really curious. So how did you have to cut some programs to get to where you're at? I mean, were sports cut out? Were after school activities? I'm just curious.
Superintendent Shellam.
Thank you for asking, because I forgot to mention that I myself am the superintendent, the principal, the testing coordinator, the head cheerleader. I don't know what else you want to call me. My taking on this position with all these licenses cut $150,000 last year. So I did that, and I plan on doing that. I've told MDE I'm fine. Thank you. I did this before in another district. I'm good. So, and yes, we did have to cut some. There's natural cuts that come along with it. You just choose to not rehire. Right now, we've lost about 4 positions this year that are needed. But we have a great staff, and we are just limping through. You know, I answer the phone someday. The secretary left. She retired. I answer phones. I do all the scheduling. I was up till 3 in the morning. We just do what we have to do, and we're going to get through this, and then it'll open up again, and then we can come back.
And Representative, your follow-up? So the other thing I'm really curious about, because this is my lane, is you worked with a local mental health counselor. Is that correct? Has that saved the school some funds too, or what goes on with that?
We're just starting. I'm sorry. We're just starting with that, and we don't have to pay that person. They just have their own private business, but they can take family insurances, MA, all of that, and all we're doing is in kind. We're just giving them a space. So it hasn't saved us any money, but it is certainly helping our families because it is such a huge crisis everywhere. We couldn't afford. We were able to bring our social worker on full time because her next slash definition is pretend dean of students and all of those other things because I needed a little bit of support. She was only half time. And so it's just a great thing. And you know, it doesn't matter if we're in Minnetonka or wherever, we have kids with mental health needs. And so we're excited. So no money out of our pocket. But I think it's going to be a selling point for families around, you know, that might want to come to our school to check it out.
Representative Hewitt.
One last final follow-up. And so they also treat students that do not have insurance too then, right? So this is across the board?
Yes. Yes, she will. She will do that. She actually started last week.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify either for or against House File 784? Seeing none. Representative Gunther, any closing comments from you, sir?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the teachers, I've talked to them. The community are excited about what's happening in Truman. They were very concerned about losing their school, and their school is very important to them and their identity. So this is a very exciting time for them, and we appreciate your help.
Thank you very much. With that, Representative Juergens renews his motion that House File 784 be held over for possible inclusion in a future division report. Thank you very much. Members, with that, we stand adjourned.